You said that you had gotten involved or learned about pirate radio through websites. Do you know what websites were they?
I can't even tell you. This was in 1996 when I got online, started messing around with the web. And as you know, I mean, I come from a music background, like a recording artist. That was my profession.
Yeah. So was it like frustration with the inability to get your stuff on local radio? That's what got you started in deciding to set up your own station.
Definitely. And you know, I had a meeting, you know, with the program director, who at the time was Russ Allen. Walked into his office, like, listen, you know, I got this record, you know, it's doing good in England, you know, I live here in Orlando. Can you show me some love? Oh, he gave me the whole bureaucracy of, you know, you got to be on Billboard. I said, you know, it's a legitimate record, you know. Oh, no. And, I mean, I left that meeting frustrated. And the last thing I said to him, you know, well, the argument he was making to me, well, you know, you got to pay some advertisement, you know, run a commercial, get people. And, I mean, this is a big station. You know, I mean, play the record.
Who owns the station? I mean, what station was it and who owns it?
It's Infinity. Still Infinity.
So it's Viacom. All right.
Viacom, yeah. So the last thing I said to him walking out of that meeting, either you play or I make you pay an advertisement dollars. And I mean, back then, I didn't know what I was talking about anyway, you know, and I bought myself a laptop and I was, you know, surfing the web on dial-up and, you know, I stumble on a site with private radio. So I was like, oh, pirate radio. And I started sitting in the chat room hours at a time in my apartment, you know. All night I'll be in the chat room, hanging out. And that's how I learned, from reading a couple of literature and doing some research, you know, how it got started and buying the equipment. And then when I got the equipment, no one would configure the equipment for me because I didn't have a license. So I had to learn how to configure the equipment myself, my own engineer. Blew a couple of amplifiers and a couple of transmitters until I got it right. And, you know, how you measure antennas to get them different parts, you know. But all in the name of radio, it has brought me a lot of headache. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. One of the chat rooms that I know there's a lot of activity in is the Free Radio Network. That sounds like a good place to hang out. I got involved in this whole thing, just so you know, in 97, actually. And I started doing a website through a .com on pirate radio.
Okay.
It was later called About.com, this group that hired a bunch of people to develop sites on specific topics, and mine happened to be pirate radio, and I went through the whole .com boom with them, and then finally left in like 2002 and set up the website that I've got now, which is DIYmedia.net, which is just mine. I just pay, you know, the server fee every month and stuff, and I'm just pretty much doing it as a labor of love. There's no, you know, there's no financial reason for me to be involved in it anymore, I guess, but I'm definitely, you know, incredibly sympathetic to the people who are going out there and doing it because there is no other way to get stuff out there. You don't have to answer any of these questions, by the way. So if there's anything that I come across that you're like, no, I'd rather not, that's fine. Where did you get the equipment, like, overseas? Did you hook up with any distributors like Energy Kits or a PCS Electronics for that, folks, or was your conduit somewhere else?
No, I got it from different places. One, I believe, was Broadcast Supply World. And, you know, I can explain that to you later on because subsequently after I got the equipment, you know, I got arrested for, like, possession of stolen credit cards, scheme to defraud, you know, all in the pirate radio scheme. One was Broadcast Supply World. One was Bex. One was RF Specialties.
So you were actually buying, like, type-accepted FM transmitters that licensed stations would normally use, because I've done business with Broadcast Supply Worldwide. I know Bext, and I've heard of RF Specialists. So you were actually getting, and they didn't even ask you questions?
Commercial power.
Yeah, no. they didn't even ask you questions, huh?
I had a Crown amplifier that I got from them, got it to RF Specialty. They didn't really ask me any questions. I got some antennas. I mean, from an antenna company, I think it was Shively Labs. Shively Labs.
Yep, I know them too.
I got tons of stuff. I mean, I had commercial power. You know, I mean, I was streaming to the web. You know, I had a station in Miami, had a station in Orlando, one in California, one in New York, upstate New York. You know, I mean, I got to the point where I was like, fuck. I mean, it's just like when he told me no, you know, it's like, I don't know what it did. Like, it created a monster, you know, and it's still, I still have that burning energy. Like, yo, you know what I mean? Fuck the corporate radio, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But now, as I went to prison, I'm a little bit more reserved because I kind of need them and they kind of need me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm willing to curve to work within that realm. But I mean, I'm still on that, you know, do it myself, you know, fighting against the man, you know.
Right. I want to get up to the whole court proceeding, prison thing. But I'm just I want to kind of go through and get all as much of the backstory as I can.
Sure.
You said that you'd had stations in Orlando. You mentioned Miami, you mentioned California. Were these other radio stations that you'd started or you had affiliated with, or what was that all about?
I bought the equipment, and you see, when I started online, okay, when I started the Orlando station, you know, I was mainly broadcasting to the web. You know what I mean? I didn't really focus much on FM. It was an online, 95 Live was an online station, okay? And I would play, like, the raunchy, gutter shit. That made me in contact with a lot of hackers, you know, and that's how I became so big on the web, because they would put me on search engine, put 95 Live on search engine, put 95 Live in certain, like, IRC chat room and some of the big chat groups. You know, I don't know much about, you know, the technicalities of, you know, programming and, you know, all that data configuration on the web.
Yeah, I heard your tech support phone call.
It became a little community, and they're the one that did it, so... When I finally moved to the FM, you know what I mean, I found guys that were loyal to 95 Live, loyal to the cause, and say, hey, I'll get the equipment, put the station up, you know what I mean?
Right.
Fly out to California, boom, find a spot, throw it up, you know, and, you know, they whatever I play, they stream.
Okay.
I mean, it got so technical that I was never at the transmitter site. My studio and the transmitter site was never connected, you know. I went to a company called SBA, hooked up with a guy there, Cool Cat, and I was like, yo, listen, you know, I'm a pirate station, the kid's trying to do his thing, all right, boom, give me a transmitter site, you know, 551 feet up in the air, gangster, you know what I mean, with 10,000 watts, like nothing, you know what I mean, I got the Orlando metro area covered, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and I'm not at the transmitter site. I'm at my student's transmitter site, was never connected.
So were you streaming to the transmitter site,
yeah,
or did you have like a wireless STL link or something?
No, stream, going as a ghost.
That's interesting. This was 98, 99, huh?
This is from 99 to 2002.
Okay, because it's interesting because there's a lot of stations now that are looking at that as techniques. It's not something that's actually been really experimented with. So you're kind of a pioneer in that realm too.
What I've done 6 years ago, they're attempting to do now. You know what I mean? And for me, it was like, you know, if I want a code or I want something configured or I want something done on the website, I would say there was a guy I met. He used to work for, and he probably still works for the Air Force. He was a programmer, an engineer. He would never tell me his name. I call him Enemy. He called me NSX. And that's the only thing I knew him by. Yeah, I'll send him an email. Enemy, I need this done. Boom. I need to find this. Okay, no problem. You know, any code needs to be written, he would get it done. I don't know his name. I've never met him. I can't tell you anything about him. When I went to prison, I lost contact, you know, because everyone was like, oh, I went to prison, you know, then I would be deported. So everyone kind of like split up, you know, and now I'm trying to like really bring the community back together as a whole on some, you know, legitimate stuff, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I had the transmitter site, you know, Miami's like a hop skipping away from Orlando. Went down there, set my station up, and, you know, I'd do the show from Orlando, stream to the FM here, stream down to Miami, and then get the DJs to come in after my show, and they do their thing.
Now, you mentioned in Orlando, this was a 10,000-watt station?
Yeah.
You were running 10,000 watts?
I was a problem.
Well,
I didn't realize how much of a problem I was until I went to prison.
Well, 10,000 watts, you know, is a lot of power and generates quite a lot of RF energy. I heard on the CD you sent me with, it was some show you were on, I think it was called Who's Who.
Yeah.
Is that on another pirate station or a community station or what?
No, that was a friend of mine who went to UCS for broadcasting. And she was doing a school project. And she's like, oh, let me talk to you. And then we'll play it on UCF radio. I was like, oh, whatever, you know. So I did it, and her professor gave her an A and, you know, put me in a whole different realm of, you know, the professors at UCF. And then when the Orlando Weekly started writing everything that I did, you know, that made me, you know, brought me more of a problem, you know, than the Orlando Sentinel. You know, so, I mean.
Kind of made you notorious.
Well, they call me the Black Howard Stern. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not, you know, I mean, the guy is, you know, he's the biggest thing in radio, but, you know, I think we were on two totally different levels.
Yeah, and you weren't big on the fart jokes either.
No. I mean, yeah, I do some raunchy shit, but, you know what I mean? I sat there, you know, and I called the mayor a bitch, and, you know what I mean? My station was in the heart of downtown on the 14th floor in the old prosecutor state attorney's building, you know. And, I mean, you got the city hall right down the block. You have the federal courthouse right across the street. You got the circuit court, you know, a block up. And I was like, whatever. They really couldn't do me any. And I know this much about law. Local cops couldn't do anything to me, okay? And the FCC wasn't that motivated to come out here. But until this congressman and then people start writing letters and the cops, I start getting arrested for, like, ridiculous things. Strong arm robbery. One day I was doing a show and some chicks came up to the station. I was doing a show called The Locker Room. I was like, yo, listen, if you're not buff and nuts, you got to get out the studio. You know, and people like calling up, yo, NSX, tell her to show your tits. You know, I was like, yo, you know what I mean? And the phone was their interaction on the radio. A guy walked in that came with them. So I took his wallet. It was a bit. Took his wallet. He had $2. I took his $2. I said, this is going to the 95 Live Trust Fund. All right. Then I threw him out the studio. And I said, you know what, the bit's over. I gave him his money back. And I said, hey, get out of here. Okay. They went to every cop, okay, until they found this detective. Like, oh, Payne? Ryan Payne? Oh, okay. Next thing I had 50 cops come to the studio, arrested me for strong-arm robbery, false imprisonment, and battery. And then they seized all my equipment.
And this was when?
This was in 2000. You know what I mean? So I said, okay.
So how long had you been on the air before, you know, the heat started really taking...
Since 98, man. I've been grinding since 98.
Okay.
Like nothing. And I mean, you know, I would break down, come back up, you know, get arrested on state charges, you know. And I mean, I knew what they were doing. You know, they would stack felonies against me, you know. So I was like, whatever. You know what I mean? I mean, I was young. You know, I mean, as I look back now, I was like, oh, fuck, I wouldn't do that now. You're crazy?
Well,
it was nuts.
If I may ask, how old are you?
I'm 30.
Okay, so this was all like, you were 23, 24?
Yeah.
All right. That's prime time. That's for this kind of stuff. It's definitely prime time. I had a kind of a related question. As you know, there's a lot of pirate activity in Florida. Just in general, and especially South Florida, and I was just wondering if you had any interactions with other pirates in the state, or if you got any problems from them, because I know that, you know, there's been cases like in Miami of stations trying to basically burn each other off the air by jacking up their power or cutting antenna lines and stuff like that. Did you have any of that, or was it pretty? Were you pretty cool with the whole scene?
Power. Yeah, I was on a totally different level from them, you know what I mean? And this foresight comes from, you know, business. You know, I mean, I look at things five steps ahead. Yeah, I know some of the pirate station, but, you know, I was streaming to the web. You know, I was talking about multimedia. They're talking about playing music and trying to push a record, you know what I'm saying, and taking phone calls. Mine was, you know, on some multimedia stuff. You know, and then talking about political issue, because I did a talk show and I let my DJs, they do their thing with the music, you know. I mean, I try to stay away from, like, the whole, you know, community, you know, group kind of thing, because, you know, I'm on a totally different level. And not to say, you know, I don't agree with what they're doing or I'm against what they're doing, but come on, man, I'm a businessman. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, they don't have the same vision that I had. Okay? My intention, and it's always been my intention, I really don't give two flying fucks about radio. My intention was to make this shit as big as I can and then get out of it. You know, before the FCC even realized what's going on.
Yeah.
That's why I said, okay, went from 250 watts, 1,000 watts, 5,000 watts, what the fuck, 10,000 watts.
How, you know, now, over the course of how long did it take you to do all this, you know, upgrading?
Probably about a year, you know, between 6 months apart, you know, like, oh, you know, I blew my 250 watts, this is not going to work. You know, as I'm going along, I'm learning, you know. Then, you know, I was like, oh, the sound's not that great, you know. 1,000 watts. Sounds not aggressive enough. I need an Optimod. And all along I'm going along, I'm learning. You know, when I talk to like the engineers at the radio company, at the you know, the equipment company, oh, this is Junior. Got a question, you know, can you tell me, you know, I got a problem with my sound, you know. They'll give you, I mean, if I call the salesperson, they won't give me that kind of information. You know what I mean? Sooner or later, they start volunteering information because they felt comfortable talking to me. Oh, well, you need to be in stereo? Oh, you need to get an Optimod, an Arbin. Yeah, 2400. Oh, yeah? Oh, okay. All right, no problem. Thank you, sir. Boom. Hang up, call, get 2400. I can't reach Daytona. I need to reach Daytona. I need 5,000 watts. You know, and that's, and it's just like, the more, I wanted more range, you know? And then when I was like, oh, well, the Duplo in the office building, that's not good enough. I need a transmitter site. I need height. Height multiplies power with the antenna, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
The
yeah.
higher you up, the farther you go. So I stumbled upon a guy named at SBA, and I won't tell you his name, but I said, listen, man, check this out. I'm a pirate station, trying to do my thing, and trying to make some things happen. You know what I mean? Okay, we'll send you a contract. I said, I'm letting you know what I mean? What's up? No problem. Pay him a little something? Okay. You got access to the transmitter site. Now, I put in a phone line. Phone line equals internet. Okay? Now the transmitter sitting there as a ghost.
Yeah. Yeah,
you feel me?
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
Now I got commercial power. Okay? Now, commercial power and smashing the radio station, I come up on Arbitron as an unknown station. Okay.
So you did actually chart in the Arbitron.
Right, but all my ratings, when I didn't listen, I don't know anything about Arbitron and media base until a guy at Power, as well as his party, WPYO, Phil Michaels, because I called, I was a 95.9, he was a 95.3, so I called him, but I said, listen, I know the corporate station out there complaining, okay, so I call him up, so I say, listen, Phil, I say, you know who this is? He says, no. I said, this is NSX. He said, he got silent. I said, listen, I'm not on the radio. I'm calling you, you know, let you know as a courtesy. Listen, I'm on 95 line. I know sometimes the engineers complain because I bleed on your signal. You know, listen, if there's a problem, I want to give you my number. Feel free to call me up and we can handle this as businessmen. He said, okay. I said, I'm dead serious. He said, all right. He said, why don't we meet up? Come by the office. So I said, man, he's fucking trying to set me up. Go by the office. I said, okay, cool. So I took one of my DJs with me. We go by the office. He's a big fan. Okay, when the Orlando Weekly did Rebel Without a Pause, he did a quote in there. You know what I mean? I didn't know the guy was such a big fan. He's the program director. So I go in, I meet with him. He takes me all around Cox Station. You know, Cox had like five stations, and he's introducing me. Oh, this is NSX. Oh, that's the pirate guy. Yeah, what's up, you know? And he took me to the computer. He said, I can't give this to you, but I'll show you, because my biggest beef is with 102 Jams. He said, I'll show you what you're doing to 102 Jams. So he showed me on the Arbitron. He said, all of this, you see what the peak they dropped? He said, you're doing that. Now, all your ratings, when someone says 95.9 is their favorite station, it goes to 95.3, the closest station to me.
Right, yeah.
It's him. So he's number one in the market, and I'm helping him. So he's got no beef with me. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah. That totally makes sense.
I was like, okay. But and then I come up with an unknown station. Yeah, people say, oh, 95.9. Arbitron looks up. There is no 95.9 in Orlando. These people are crazy. They must be talking about 95.3.
So they just adjusted the data to the next closest station that they thought whoever the people that were filling out the diaries and whatnot were referencing. Yeah, that makes complete sense. And it's not the first time that that's actually happened either. I mean, there was a guy in you probably know about this too. There was a guy in Tampa. What was his name? Doug Brewer, Tampa's party pirate, 102.1, who ran the station there and did the same thing. Got noticed in the Arbitrons as an unknown station. And it was actually something that was one of the key things that got the FCC kind of twigged to his existence. But Arbitron will do it. And so this other station was, I mean, you visited with them. They were pretty cool. You said that you were bleeding in on their signal. You weren't bleeding in on their signal.
Sometimes, you know, like when you get at a certain spot, you'll hear me trampling on my signal because, you know, listen, I didn't know how to really tweak my signal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean,
prevent it from bleeding.
Yeah, I mean, and plus, you know, 10,000 watts creates a lot of blanketing interference. Like in nearby area around the transmitter and the antenna, you run that kind of power, you're going to bleed over most of the FM dial,
right,
at least in the local area. And I know that
if you don't know how to really get control of your signal.
Sure. And in some of it, you just can't stop just because it's just energy radiating out. It's just so much energy radiating out from one point that even the smallest transmitter has a zone of blanketing interference that it can cause. You mentioned, in one of the interview pieces that you did, that you actually moved transmitter locations around to avoid some of that. Like, there was an apartment complex or something that you were working out of for a while, and
yeah,
people there were complaining about the phones and stuff, or what was that all about?
I started my apartment, and I ran the coax cable over my roof in a pine tree. Then the apartment office said, no, we're not having none of this. So I moved the station to a friend of mine's apartment, and it was just out of control. People couldn't use their phones. So I said, okay. I moved it to an office building, and then, you know, the office building was out of control, too. People couldn't use their phones because, listen, the transmitter was right there next to the studio in the building. You know what I mean? I didn't know that, you know, all this RF and this frequency would be bleeding in onto these phone lines because they're not shielded. I didn't know it. I'm learning as I'm going along.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, all right, cool. Then, you know, I moved it to another office space downtown before I moved into the heart of downtown. Then there was a lawyer in there, and he started writing a letter to the congressman, and, you know, congressmen start going to the chief of enforcement, and I was like, oh, fuck, I got to get out of here, you know? So, and then after, I said, well, you know what? There's too much power. You know, I probably was running about 1,000 watts, you know what I'm saying? Then I upped to like 5,000. So I was like, oh, this is too much power. I got to get the transmitter away from my studio and from around the phone lines because definitely I am I'm causing problems.
Right.
You know, my first apartment was next to the airport, okay?
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. That's a big no-no.
Right. So when the cops came, when they arrested me, they were like, oh, we're going to have the FAA come in. You were bleeding on the FAA signal. And I was like, then the Secret Service came. And I was like, whatever. You know, I didn't want to talk to them. I was like, whatever. Then the Secret Service came, like, oh, we're going to contact the FAA. And, you know, I had a lot of heat on me, but I didn't care. You know, my objective is like, listen, I'm going to smash it out here, and you really can't do me anything. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Now, go ahead.
And, you know, by me saying that, I got a bunch of felonies stacked up on me. You know what I'm saying? All in the name of radio.
Yeah.
And after, you know, I got a lengthy criminal record based upon radio. Because as I'm sitting down thinking, why do they keep charging me with all these felonies? Because the more felonies they stack on me, the more it looks bad to the church. You know what I mean? And I was like really fucking myself up, you know? And I was like, oh. But now I look back, I was like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Because I knew local cops can't do me anything. They can sing the song and dance as much as they want. Listen, you don't have jurisdiction, okay? And the FCC can't come and put cuffs on me.
Right. Yeah, because they don't have police powers.
Exactly. So I know that much. So when I was at home one morning and I'm listening, I had a station playing in my house. That's jump forward, like about 2001. And I'm listening to the station. The station goes out. So what the fuck? Damn. I go out and I look on my balcony. I see a guy walk by. He says hello. I said, what's up? And I woke my friend up. He was sleeping in my other room. I said the station went out. I said, there's no stereo signal. I said, did the power went out? So I started calling my friend at SBS. I said, what's going on? He said, call the guy in Tampa, the regional managers. I call him. This guy's not answering his phone. So I'm like, something's wrong. I get a knock at the door. Boom, 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 boom. I look at the door. I see blue uniform and Marshall. I'm like, oh, fuck. So I'm going back to my room now. They open the door. Get the apartment complex, gave him a key. Marshall comes in, give me a search warrant. Oh, we want to search your apartment. Okay, go ahead. I don't have the studio there. The studio's not at my house. Okay, but they know who I am.
Right.
Okay, because I'm on probation. I'm on 2 years felony, 10 years felony probation.
Now, what was this? What was this? What was that in relation to? This was in relation to other stuff that had.
So this is in relation. All come back to pirate radio. Possession of stolen credit cards, scheme to defraud, organized fraud, grand theft, petty theft, all on pirate radio. Okay. Allegedly, I used the credit card to buy radio equipment.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I got you.
So I was on probation. So they knew who I was, you know what I'm saying? And they wouldn't – I was on probation for $10,000 to pay to Broadcast Supply World. So I said, okay, here's $10,000 before the marshal even came to my house. Okay, I'm still doing pirate radio. I'm on probation. I'm still doing pirate radio. And I'm like, fuck y'all, whatever. So I say, here's $10,000. Let me off of probation. Guess what the probation officer said? No. I said, why won't you let me off? Listen. And she was a cool chick. She's like, listen, all right? You're a problem, I had. They don't want the money. You pay it off piece by piece. It's all right. Fuck them. They won't let me off of probation. I'm not paying. So I stopped paying. Okay? So they come to my house, and they said, we need to search your house. Then 25 guys with FC blue jacket, you know, like you see the FBI, the blue windbreakers?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They got the FCC on the back, and I was like, oh, fuck. I said, all right. 25 guys come to my house, they look at the phone, they go through shit, they're like, where, and they're looking for the studio. They can't find the studio.
Now, this was, you said, in 2001, roughly?
This is 2001.
And so this is the time, this is one of the times when the FCC actually was involved.
Like it's involved since 1999.
Okay, but you mentioned, like, this is going back to some of the stuff that I was listening to, that the FCC never really engaged you. Like, usually their protocol is they try to make a visit, they send a warning letter,
right.
You know, and then they do the repeated visits, and then they escalate to a fine, or they do some raids and stuff like that. You know, they only go after the criminal conviction in you know, the worst case repeat scenario situation. So did the FCC actually, you know, like, did you get a notice of unlicensed operation? Did they send you a notice of apparent liability? You mentioned the raid, so they were involved in some of that.
I'm sure they came and they made tapes. They took pictures when I was downtown in the office building, you know, because the tower is on top of the building, 500 feet up in the air. You know what I'm saying? I got the pictures when I got the information, the discovery. But no one from the FCC came and said, hey, Mr. Payne, we know who you are. Stop doing pirate radio. They could never speak to me directly.
Now that's interesting. I wonder why they didn't do that.
Because they know who I am, but they can't talk to me. Where are they going to find me? They know who Rayon Payne is. They know who's NSX. They should. If they want to find me, they can go to anyone I've got. I went through about 25 lawyers from 2000, from 99 to now. 25 lawyers. So it's not like they can't go to the clerk of court and find out who's my lawyer at that time of record. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you know, like, law enforcement agencies tend to be pretty cordial with each other. Like, if one is looking for information on somebody that they're interested in that another agency might have information on, they will trade, you know, info kind of.
Right. Listen,
on the side if they want to.
The Sheriff Department, Barry's Intelligence Department, I didn't even know they had an Intelligence Department, sent a letter to FTC and say, hey, listen, this guy NSX is a problem. He's extorting money from club owners, okay? You need to look at him. OPD Moore, the only cop kept arresting me on this pirate radio and the credit card stuff, you need to look at Payne. Okay, so they've been sending letters in correspondence to the FCC. But the FCC didn't really, they wasn't that motivated to come and get me until I started taking my show political. I was calling the mayor a bitch, you know, and I had a blatant disrespect for law because, you know, I'm getting arrest, I'm getting felony conviction, well, felony arrest on these charges for a credit card. You know, they're arresting me for strong arm robbery. I'm doing a radio show. OPD sees all my equipment, okay? And then I have to hire a lawyer to go get it back. So I'm like, fuck. We shut him down. He's coming back. And, you know, the pressure was on the FCC. You need to come out here and do something. And do something now, you know? So in 2001, right before President Bush was to come out here to the convention center, okay, I was planning a big show, and I talked about it on the radio. Right before he came in November, that's when the raid came.
Now, that's not unusual, too, because there's been times when stations have been hidden, like right around 2000 in Austin, you know, right before the election and whatnot, because Bush was going to be hanging out in Austin election night. They went and they took down Free Radio Austin, you know, and they were being political. They were organizing protests and all kinds of stuff like that. So, you know, that definitely is a plausible explanation for why they'd want to come and knock you right then and there.
And that was cool. But they came to my house and they didn't find nothing. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was there. They're looking for the studio. They still didn't find the studio. They took all the equipment that was at the transmitter site. Had my lawyer contacted the marshals on the warrant, and the indictment's been sealed.
Okay. Now, let me back up a second and just kind of go on a slightly different track, because I know we're getting close to the whole... We're leading up to the point now where we start engaging in court and, charges for... Criminal charges start coming down and everything, but I just want to back up a second and ask, you said that you went into this partially because you were disgruntled by lack of access to the airwaves for your music and stuff like that, but also you were going into it for business reasons because, there's potential here to serve, you know, a niche that isn't being served by any other station in any way. Did you make money on this? And where were you getting the money to, you know, because the 10,000-watt transmitter ain't cheap. You know, an amplifier to get you up 10,000 watts ain't cheap. Quality antenna equipment, broadcast quality antenna equipment ain't cheap. You know, all that stuff ain't cheap. Were you, how did you finance all this? How did you finance replacements? And then also, the second part of it is, you know, was the station commercial? Were you running commercials and whatnot? Because I know there are a lot of pirates in Florida that do stuff like that.
Right. Okay. I don't have a license for the FM dial. I'm not a legitimate station when it comes to the FM dial. I don't have a license. I wasn't issued a license by the FCC. Okay, so technically I can't run a commercial on 95.9. Okay? So my business was done on the internet. So when you sign a contract to advertise on 95live.com, you sign a contract for 95live.com. What goes on the FM dial with your commercial, I'm not responsible for. I can't guarantee you a commercial for 95.9 FM. I can guarantee you advertisement for 95live.com. So all my contract was 95live.com.
Okay, so you weren't using the station itself as a commercial vehicle as much as you were using the station as kind of an adjunct to your online presence.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. And how was that, like, fiscally? Were you making good money when things were going well or what?
Yeah, the money was, you know, money was okay, but, I mean, again, you know, the station was too big. You know, I did 81 million people coming to the website in the month of February, okay? Bell South can verify. That's why I put that in the second track of the CD. I mean, I can't. Things I wasn't organized. I was a one man trying to get street cats, you know, who has no intellect on business or no computer knowledge to help me run a business. And the station was too big.
So you weren't like hooking up with clubs and promoting stuff? Cause
yeah,
I know,
of course. I was hooking up with clubs. You know, I was trying to do some club nights, you know, but the station was too big. I couldn't, you know, I got 81 people on the website. I got the phones going crazy. You know, what do I do? Shit, it got too big, too fast, you know. And I'm on the cover of Orlando Weekly. Doesn't really help because now, you know, people are looking at me in a different light. I'm not a pirate radio station anymore. I'm not just some guy on a pirate radio, you know. I'm driving around in a $100,000 car, NSX, you know. Wait a minute. What is a 24-year-old black man running around in a $100,000 car?
Well, that's just what I was thinking.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, he's got $30,000 worth of jewelry around his neck. Wait a minute, what the fuck going on? Yeah, this nigga's a problem, you know. But the shit was out of control. It was really out of control. I mean, strategically, I couldn't really handle it all, you know. I mean, and then, you know, I could sell advertisement on the web because the internet was really big at that time. But, you know, I couldn't really make the machine work as fast as everything that was happening, you know. Things were happening too fast, and the machine was trying to keep up but couldn't.
Okay.
You know, what can I tell you? You know, as I look back now, you know, now I've had some time to reflect, and I'm more prepared now than I was, you know, 3 years ago.
Right. Who owns 95 Live now? Because I know there's still a website up there, and it's still, like, you know, kind of a hip hop, you know, it's hip hop focused and stuff like that. Or right. Is that still you, or is that somebody else?
No, when I went to prison in 2002, 95live.com belonged to me. Okay. It was hacked, you know, because a guy I was hosting with changed the contact information because there was so much hit the website. Okay. I went to prison. There's nothing I can do. A guy in California, a fan, re-registered the domain. Okay. And they're running it. Okay. 95live.net and .org belongs to me. Okay. And it's been a hassle for me to get it back. I'm going to get it back. But what I need to do, I need to take legal action.
Yeah.
To send them a cease and desist. You know, because they're not 90, they don't even understand the history of 95 Live. You know, I mean, when I got out of prison and I sent them an email like, yo, listen, what's the deal? I need to get my website back. They're like, oh, you need to pay. And I mean, I was like, pay? I mean, you understand. I send niggas to your crib. You know what I mean? But I mean, I got to do things a little bit more diplomatic now.
So
you know?
It sounds like the station, while you were saying like the money was okay coming in on the online stuff, and you weren't really doing full on commercial stuff on the FM side. It sounds like you were in kind of a shadow economy. You know what I mean? Like you had people that were giving you stuff and paying you and stuff, almost like as an in kind service. As opposed to actually, you know, like signing a contract to run spots for X number of days, X number of times,
absolutely,
and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, I mean, and I got a lot of stuff from the record company because I was playing their records.
You getting payola from them? Where they?
No,
were...
no, not payola.
I was gonna say, you know, because that was a trough that was wide open back then.
No, they wouldn't. And I mean, I wouldn't accept it because I was kind of leery of, you know, maybe this person's trying to set me up, or you know. So I was really leery about that. You know, and I mean, I've done a lot of things for them, you know, but they would send artists down. I was like, okay, send me your artist down or give me the exclusive shit, I'll play it. But you send your artist down, do a promotion, you know, a spot at my club that I'm promoting, you know, and then I'll make money from the club, you know.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I would refuse to take any money directly, you know, and cats will call me, hey, NSX, you know, you want to, nah, I'm good. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, I was making money, you know what I mean? And the online thing was bringing in pretty decent money, you know, to the point where I can pay my bills, that the light was on, and, you know, and I can, you know, live pretty decent, you know. But I was in the stage where I'm trying to, like, really flip it, you know, and totally get out of pirate radio.
Sounds like, yeah, it almost sounds like, you know, and I don't mean any disrespect when I say this, but it's almost like, you know, the mafia folks who want to go legit eventually, right? They kind of work their way up through, you know, kind of a shady system. Then they get to a point where they're like, okay, now I want to flip this and make it something that is long-term sustainable and doesn't have to worry about having the law coming down on me and busting me on it and taking it all away.
Couldn't flip it fast enough, John. The shit was too big. You know what I'm saying? Cats, the shit was too big in Orlando. You know what I'm saying? It was out of control. I did a show 4 hours a day, a talk show, and there's nothing compared to what I've done on radio or on satellite, anywhere. So I went to Clear Channel, and I said, hey, listen, in Fort Myers, so listen, I want a job. You know, we don't have the budget. I said, fuck the budget. I work for free. I'm not doing this for money. You know what I'm saying? I want a chance to do one book, and then you'll see what I can do. What I did on a shoestring budget.
Yeah.
6 years ago, 3 years ago, this is what I've done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Give me a job. Oh, you're high risk. I mean, they made any excuses. Now I'm going back to Clear Channel, okay? Hey, listen, I'm the only man the FCC ever sent to prison. This is what I've done. Okay, give me a chance to be on legitimate radio, okay? Can you imagine if what I was doing 6 years ago, 3 years ago, if I was had a sales staff around me, okay, and a legitimate license to do what I've done, what would happen? Would we still be talking about Howard Stern and his farts joke?
No. No, that's, you have a point there. You definitely do have a point there.
We wouldn't, you know. But, and then, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm blackballed because, you know, I mean, on the phone I can get things done. But when people meet me, like, oh, this is a black guy? You know, everyone thinks that I'm white, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Huh.
You know, I mean, and sometimes I think because maybe I'm black, you know, they don't want, you know, they don't really want me into that circle, you know. And maybe I, you know, not only that he's talented but he can do a show, but he understands business pretty damn good. Do we really want someone like this in our company? Because eventually he's going to just use our, you know, soap dish and make his own shit, you know. I mean, I don't know, but I mean, there's no one that can really give me a legitimate reason why they won't give me a show or hire me.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, I mean, it sounds like it could be a combination of things. I mean, race could be coming into play with it for sure. Just the background of being a pirate and the stigma that gets attached to that, which is kind of funny because, yeah, you know, as you know, you said you've looked into this kind of stuff and whatnot. I mean, like, you know, back in the early days, 50s and 60s, when the guys in Europe were doing it off the coasts of the Netherlands and the UK and whatnot, the BBC poached them all away and put them on BBC One and launched their pop music service with pirate DJs. Because they realized that they'd hit onto something good, and it sounds like you had tapped into something good that other stations might have found advantageous, but for a mixture of reasons, they're not gonna go that way.
I don't understand. I mean, I listen to the old shows. I got tons of shows that I taped. There's nothing that what I do on satellite, on regular radio, nowhere around. No one's doing it. You know what I mean? You find me one black host that's on the radio talking political and they can flip it to the streets. Just every cat in the street here respect NSX.
Yeah.
And to Miami.
Yeah, that's true. There's only a couple people I can think of that are doing stuff like that, and they're not.
And I'm not a street cat.
Yeah.
I'm not a street cat. I mean, I know cats in the street, but I'm not street. You know what I'm saying? I come from a pretty damn good background. You know what I mean? Both parents work. You know what I mean? I'm from the suburbs. You know what I mean?
All right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it was interesting, too, from the stuff that you've given me. I mean, it wasn't, I mean, yeah, your stuff was unique in that you didn't have to follow FCC indecency regulations, and, you know, you were very freeform, and you'd flip back and forth between music and talk, and, you know, you're making phone calls and taking phone calls and all this other stuff. But I didn't hear anything, you know, that really struck me as being extreme, you know? Like Bubba the Love Sponge. Remember, you heard of Bubba the Love Sponge. He was down in Florida. You know, he was, you know, slicing the nuts off boars in the parking lot of the station live on the air and eating them. And, you know, you're singing songs about rich white bitches. You know, I mean, it's not even the same, right? It's not even close. I mean, that kind of stuff, it didn't really, I mean, here I am, you know, white boy in Illinois. And it didn't bother me at all. I mean, I want to know more about what you're talking about when you're talking about, like, you think a lot of the stuff you were doing got you busted, because, you know, in today's radio environment, a lot of the stuff that you were doing wouldn't even bat an eye nowadays, with the exception of the authenticity of being on an unlicensed station and not having to worry about all those rules that other broadcasters have to worry about. You know what I mean?
Right. But when I speak, I don't speak with, you know, fuck, 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 you know, shit, shit, shit. And when people call in, you know, I mean, if you notice, I say, no F words. You couldn't use the F words on 95 Live at all. That, I mean, that was a rule. You know, that's a rule that I made up to, you know, kind of like police myself, you know, and police, you know, the station.
Yeah.
So no one can really say, oh, he's over the top, you know, but it just, I said, and what I've noticed in life, you know, when you say the truth, whether people agree with you or not, people get offended or they embrace you. And everything that I said was the truth. There's nothing that I said that people could say, oh, no, he's just, you know, he's out of control. He's not, he's just, you know, he's not telling the truth. You know what I mean? That's not quite accurate. No, man, Rich White Bitch was like the shit. You know what I mean? It's real shit. You know what I mean? I know black cats. Listen, let's be honest. Every basketball player, every sports guy, they got a black woman, a white woman. You know what I mean? Let's keep it real.
Yeah, you know. I totally understand where you're coming from.
Yeah,
when
so,
I was just,
I mean, but, you know, people got offended.
I just felt, you know, I just felt that was kind of tame, even, you know, like, compared to some of the other stuff you're going to hear. It's like, wow, that really ain't all that bad, you know? I mean, I can see how it might offend somebody. There was a guy who did call up who was working at AT&T doing tech support or something, got a written reprimand for listening to the station. I'm just trying to keep like the whole timeline straight in my head now because we're jumping around, and part of that's my fault. You know, 98, you're thinking about doing this. You go out, you start going on 99, 2000. You start moving shit around, trying to find an advantageous location to site the transmitter to maximize your signal. You start bumping up the wattage. 2000, 2001, would you say, is when you got up to like 10,000 watts? And
2001.
You know, 2001. And when did the blowing up start to the point where, I mean, when did the police harassment begin, and how did it escalate over time?
Police harassment started in 98. I got arrested for possession of stolen credit cards, scheme to defraud, buying radio equipment with stolen credit card. That started then in 2000. The case started in 98, but I got arrested in 99. 2000, I pled to scheme to defraud and possession of stolen credit card, two felony. Paid $10,000 to Broadcast Supply World.
So I guess you could say that the initial financing for the station was not necessarily on the up and up?
They can, allegedly, but, you know, I mean, we can get to that. That's what they say, okay? Well, we can make that argument all day, but, you know, as you know, all those convictions went away.
You know, see, I'm not totally clear on that. Like, you know, the stuff that exists online about all this is very scattered and spotted. I found a couple things like up from the Orlando Weekly.
Right.
There's some guy who writes a blog that just was ripping you a new asshole. And this was related to the whole sexual battery stuff. And I know that's the part that I know that got overturned.
A blog?
Yeah, there was somebody's got like a weblog out there and had written something about the fact that you had gotten convicted and, you know, was telling the whole story and was just real happy that you'd gotten convicted. I'll look up the link again and I'll send it to you so that you can see it. But like I said, I'm only seeing scattered bits here, and I don't know. Like, I heard about the sexual battery stuff had gotten.
Get into all of that.
Yeah, so like, can how all of these convictions got overturned? You telling me?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Damn, Skippy, they fucked your kid up real bad. So
all right.
99, I plead in 2000 to the credit card case. Two felony, 10 years, 10 years probation, $10,000 to Broadcast Supply World. Okay. Then after doing the show, I was on probation. Then doing a show downtown, I catch, I think, 5 felonies. Okay? Strong arm robbery, false imprisonment, battery. Okay? Pled to misdemeanor in that. Things are going pretty good. And I'm still on the radio. No problem. So I'm doing the station's doing a live broadcast from a club called Firestone. Every law enforcement knows NSX in Orlando. That's a fact. I believe sometimes I feel they drive around with my pitch in a patrol car. Go to Firestone, we're doing a live broadcast. got there about 10 o'clock. I met this chick there. You know, I walked around, configured the computer and stuff. You know, everything's going good. Met a chick. So, I was like, hey, what's up? Boom, boom. So I said, and I kept it moving. I said, the next six females come to DJ booth, can give a shout out. No, I said, six females come to DJ booth, or six females come to DJ booth, come and give a shout out. She was one of the girls that came up with another friend, gave a shout out, boom, say what up. She left. Manager comes over, hey, it's kind of dead, give us some free tickets, some drink tickets, boom, boom, boom. Okay, cool. Next six females come to DJ booth, I give you free drinks. She and also two of her friends come back to DJ booth, giving free drinks. I said, okay, let's go down to the bar. Walked her and three of the girls down to the bar. Go to the bar, tell the bartender, here's the drink tickets. These are the females to get drink. So I'm at the bar, I'm like, pollying with her, like, what up, what's your name, whatever, whatever. She got a drink, she got a shot, and she left. And I kept it moving. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. I'm in a club. There's tons of chick around. I'm getting ready to leave now. It's about 1:30, probably about 2 o'clock, something around there. I go up to DJ booth to return the mic. She's up there behind the DJ booth with two friends dancing. So that's where I started pollying with her real hard. I said, where you from? She told me she's from Sweden. She just graduated from Valencia, boom, boom. And we're just kicking the bobo. We started kissing. Boom. I'm like, ah, what the fuck? I said, what you doing? Let's go to breakfast. You know what I mean? I'm rapping with the chick. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We leave the DJ booth. We go to the VIP, trying to be somewhere private. We ended up in a bathroom, a unisex bathroom. We in there, we started kissing, and I'm in the bathroom standing up, and she's blowing me. Now, the only thing I can remember is I'm thinking about this now, like, oh, I'm in the bathroom, I'm in a nightclub getting head, okay? We have sex, boom. You know, it becomes awkward, because I just met you 15, 30 minutes ago, and I already hit. What the hell can I say? You know, what can we talk about? So I'm at the sink, I'm cleaning up. She's at the stall wiping off. So I'm done. She gets fixing her hair in the mirror. So I'm like, what's up? You know, you all right? She's like, yeah, I'm good. So you want some water or something, you know? Yeah. I leave the room, go down to the bar, bring back a bottle of water to her. Knock on the door open, give her the water. And she put it down in the sink, and I'm sitting back there and waiting for her to finish, you know? Mm-hmm. She said, oh, you don't have to wait on me. You can go downstairs. I'll be down in a minute. I said, all right, cool. I go down. I'm hanging down in the club waiting for her to come down. Her two friends comes up to me. He's like, hey, where's our friend that was with you? I said, she's upstairs in the bathroom, right up there. And I'm like, oh, shit. It's been about 10 minutes. She ain't come down yet. So I see security running up the stairs. So I told Adam, I said, hey, come on, let's go. So we go upstairs. The guy, security guy I know, was knocking on the door. I said, hey, Jimmy, there's a chick I was with. She's in the bathroom. They open the door. She's over the sink, throwing up. They tell her friends to go get her out the bathroom. She walks out the room. I'm standing right at the bathroom door. She looks at me, and she laughs. I'm like, all right. I said, what the fuck? I thought I was going to go to breakfast. Anyway, whatever. I already hit. You know what I mean? Don't make a difference to me. Whatever. She, you know, one night stand. So I leave now. I go home. I leave early that morning. I'm going to Miami. I was doing the interlude for Ray J, Brandy's brother. Had an appointment with him in the studio. So I'm doing the interlude for his CD. I get a phone call. And it's sex. What up? Where are you at? I'm in Miami. You know the chick you were with last night? Yeah. What? She said she was raped by you. Are you crazy? My whole world start, and I said, this bitch don't know what she is doing. She has no understanding what's going. And I mean, I knew once when I heard that news, I was like, it's over. It's over. This is what they wanted. It's over. And I was like, oh. So I call my lawyer, Michael, and I say, Michael, this is what's going on. He said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Boom. I don't hear anything from no law enforcement, nothing. So I go to a club, Palladium, to do business with this guy named Alex. Me and another guy who owns a pirate station here, Dogman. We go to Palladium, and as I'm walking in Palladium, I get a tap on my shoulder. So I turn around, I see there's a cop that I know. I say, hey, what's up, man? He said, let me holler at you in a sec. I said, what's up? He said, did you take care of that stuff? I said, what stuff? He said, the stuff that happened to Firestone. I said, oh. I said, nah, man, nobody contacted my lawyer. Nobody said anything. He said, they just issued a warrant for your arrest today. I said, for what? He said, for the raid. He said, you need to go get that handled. I said, all right, cool. I said, all right, cool. He said, I'll show you the flyer. So he was going to his car. We walk outside. We chilling, you know, outside on the tree. Goes to his car. He's coming back. Some other cops coming that were hanging out. So as he come back, he had to arrest me. You know what I mean?
Damn, yeah.
He arrested me. He called a detective. He said, listen, I know this guy. There's a problem with this story. Talk to him. They don't want to hear that. The black cop. He said, talk to this guy. I know this guy. I've known him for a minute now. Talk to him. No. Take me down. Do you know this chick? No. You know her name? No. Did you have sex with her? Yes. Sex was consensual. Everything the cop asked me, I told him. I brought her a bottle of water. Everything. Everything that happened, I told him. Okay? There's nothing we can do. You're in a $100,000 bond. What? Guys commit murder and don't get a $100,000 bond. So I said, fine. My parents come back in the country and bond me out. Okay? So I'm on bond now. This has been going on for a year. I'm back on the radio. I got a raid charge.
This is 2001, 2002?
2001.
Okay.
I'm back on the radio. The newspaper did a number on me. The news did a number on me. I'm like, fuck them. I mean, allegedly the chick said that I drugged her and raped her.
Yeah, that's what I'd read in that blog posting thingy,
right.
Yeah.
Everybody knows NSX don't drink nor smoke. That's a fact. That's a known fact in Orlando. So I said, fuck them. You know what I mean? I don't drink. I don't smoke. Take a blood test on her. They'll see that there's no drug in her system. Okay? I'm back on the air, and it's nothing. Now, this is when I got 10,000 watts, okay? I went from 5,000, I said, you know what? Fuck them. 10,000 watts. I want more range. I want to reach Tampa now where the FCC's got their office in Tampa. So I got 10,000 watts, and the kid's on the air, and it's like no stopping. I'm like, whatever. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things being written about me. Oh, NSX is a rapist. The news is doing a number on me. TV and print. Whatever, man. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? I really don't care. I didn't do it, and they know I didn't do it. 2002, I go to trial now. I get all the discovery. My lawyer finds they did the FDLE, did the toxicology on her. There's no drugs in her system. She's not even fucking drunk, okay? But the chicks are saying that she was drunk and I drugged her. And this is the premises the state went on, that she was drugged. The prosecutor calls my lawyer. He says, Mike, listen, I know the case is bullshit. But we're going to trial anyway. Wait a minute. I said, Mike, I mean, I cried in my lawyer's office. I said, what the fuck's wrong with these people? He said, listen, you got a bullseye on your back. Okay, we know the case. Legally, I should have never went to prison because the state didn't prove their case. Consent. They need to prove consent. They did not prove lack of consent. Okay? And they charged me with sexual battery, physically helpless. Okay. Physically helpless is a misnomer title. Okay, it has nothing to do with being physically bonded or tied up. Physically helpless, physically unable to communicate.
Mm.
Now, if she's physically unable to communicate, how the hell she can give an articulate description that I raped her?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. So, that you initially got convicted on that, right?
That and then the 99 case, the credit card, because I was on probation.
Right, right.
They gave me 10 years on the sex case. They gave me 10 years on the 99 case. So I got a total of 20 years.
Okay. And then how did that eventually all get tossed?
How did it get? Oh, I went to prison. I appealed. The district court said, they said no. They didn't write an opinion. They just procure a firm without any opinion. So I'm sitting in prison. I'm like, you know, I mean, it kind of like, I'm going into like a deep depression. I'm like, oh, these people are really, I said, these people are nuts. This can't be happening. Listen, I went to trial on Monday, got found guilty on Tuesday, got sentenced Wednesday. That same week, I was off to prison. You know what the trial judge said after I got found guilty?
Hmm.
This is not a conviction on record. This is not a conviction I was expecting.
So how long did you spend in prison on that stuff before it got overturned?
I did 10 months in prison. I've been locked up for 3 years. But I did 10 months. When I got to prison, the FCC came and snatched me out. Okay? The marshal came and picked me up out of state prison. Brought me back to Orlando to answer a 10-count indictment for operating a radio station.
And they did this in front of a magistrate.
Right. We wanted to be in front of Baker. We didn't want to go in front of a regular fucking judge.
Why was that?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
just because of the history and whatnot, or what?
Oh, yeah, man. Listen, Baker was really... Listen, Baker sent me to prison, the federal prison, but, you know, that was lenient. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I got 4 FCC officers sitting there to testify, okay? They can give me a year on each count.
Right, right, yep.
Consecutively. You understand what's going on?
Yep.
And they were really trying to stick it to me. Oh, he's the mastermind, Your Honor. He was doing this, and he was causing the ruckus. I was like, whoa, hold on a minute. Now, you guys are out of control. You know what I'm saying? So when I sat in, my lawyer said, listen, we're not going to do it, because they did a PSI on me, but I don't have any criminal history.
What is that? What is PSI?
Pre-sentencing investigation.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. But to see where I score, where I come out to be sentenced, you know. He went to the prosecutor, the U.S. attorney. But when I came back, he said, listen, the U.S. prosecutor, they wasn't motivated to even prosecute the case. But the FCC was pushing. Fuck it. Prosecute him. He's going to prison. You know what I mean? There's like, they've never prosecuted any case like this, so they didn't know what to do.
Yeah, well, actually, you are the third person to get criminally convicted for unlicensed broadcasting. You do hold the distinction of being the first person to actually serve time behind bars, though.
Really?
The first guy was a guy by the name of George Fellows. He was British, and it was back in 1930. Right when the FCC, the Federal Radio Commission was formed first in 27.
Right.
And they were looking for a test case that they could use to, approve that they had authority to regulate the airwaves. And so they got this British guy who was actually a pioneer in talk radio. And he was broadcasting, I think, out of Missouri. And he actually had people, like, he did phone-ins and stuff. And 2 FCC agents, one in Missouri and the other in, like, Illinois or something, called the station and had a conversation over the airwaves. And why they did that is they could prove then that there was an interstate, you know, component to the broadcast, which then would bring the FCC in on the case. It went in front of a judge. It was a complete circus trial. The guy's like, you know, if we don't convict this guy, every Tom, Dick, and Harry who wants to go on the air can go on the air. It'll be chaos on the airwaves and everything, right? He gets convicted. He's sentenced to prison. And before he goes to serve his time, he agrees to be deported back to Britain. So he actually was convicted, but he never served time behind bars.
Right.
The second guy who got criminally convicted for unlicensed broadcasting is a guy in Florida, Lux, Florida, if I'm pronouncing that right, by the name of Lonnie Cobras. He was convicted, I want to say, like in the late 90s. After the time that you'd actually been on the air and whatnot. He was one of these kind of Christian patriot sorts, didn't really believe in federal authority to begin with and whatnot, and was running kind of like a right-wing Christian patriot talk station out of his house. And back in, I want to say, 98, June or July of 98, or maybe it was 99, the FCC conducted raids across Florida. They hit 16 stations in one day, and one of them they hit was his. And they ended up prosecuting him for criminal counts of unlicensed broadcasting. He tried to get the case thrown out. There was kind of some weird chicanery in the courts over that one. He was eventually convicted, and he ended up getting like 6 months home imprisonment, you know, with the ankle bracelet thing going on. So he was convicted, but he never actually served any time in a jail. Then you come along, and you're the first person, you're the third person to get convicted criminally of unlicensed broadcasting in U.S. history, but you're the first person to actually serve time behind bars, so congratulations, I guess.
He wanted me to go to prison, You understand? I'm sitting there. This has been going, and the prosecutor's like, listen, we don't know how to proceed. You know, listen, we going to prison. So my lawyer was like, okay, cool. We'll plead to operating the radio station for 2 days. Cool, no problem. So I operated the radio station for 2 days. And we'll do it in front of Baker. Okay, if we go in front of a judge, you know what I mean? No. They're not, first of all, you know what I mean? I was talking about some really political shit. It was not going to happen, me going to prison for a year or 9 months in front of a judge. Chances are, and plus I got a sexual battery and a fraud case, you know, in state prison, you know, no. They're going to run this time consecutive.
So you think then that the FCC decided to go after you and stick it to you like they did because you were already locked up? So you were pretty much a sitting duck.
No. The indictment was sealed. It's been a sealed indictment. When I was in prison, they could have prosecuted me when I was out. Okay, they wanted to build more of a case. Okay, because when they came and gave me the search warrant and had a sealed indictment, I was still on the radio. I'm still on the radio. Fuck them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter to me. When I went to prison, you know, they came back and it's like, oh, we're going to drag them out. They spent about a good $100,000 flying me around the country. They took me out of Florida, take me to Atlanta, Pennsylvania, Oklahoma, Louisiana, fly me all the way to Jacksonville, drive me to Orlando.
Why did they do all this?
Diesel therapy. We're going to teach you something, motherfucker. You're fucking with us. Yeah. I've been flying around up and down. Can't sleep. Drop me off Oklahoma? Hey, Payne, pack it up. You're back on a plane again. What? I just got here. Pack it up. Put me in a hole in Atlanta for a whole week. By myself. I haven't even been sentenced yet. Yeah. I've been on a prison tour. I can tell you stories. You know what I'm saying? So when I get sentenced for the 9 months, Baker said, well, I'm going to give you 9 months, a year of probation. Okay? Then he says, what's going on with the state case? Lickenback was like, his lawyers out of Tampa are handling that. I'm not handling that case. Is it still on appeal? Yes, Your Honor. Okay, 9 months. You go to federal prison and cool off. You know what I mean? And that was satisfying to the FCC. You know, we're going to send you a message. You know what I mean? You fuck with us. I go back to state prison now. I get ordered deported. The Homeland Security filed a notice to appear. So I go in front of an immigration judge with Homeland Security and say, oh, we want to deport him because he has two aggravated felonies.
Now, wait a minute. Like, do you hold dual citizenship or something?
No,
or?
I wasn't born here. I've been living here all my life, but I never got citizenship.
So where were you born?
I was born in British Guiana, South America. Jim Jones?
Yeah. Okay.
So now I got an appeal case, two state cases being appealed. Okay, I got the FCC case I just got over with. All right, and now I got deportation. Oh, now it's like, oh, shit, this is ridiculous. You know what I mean? I've got all these things going on. Then I get a letter in the mail. The District Court of Florida says, no, we're not touching his conviction. PCA'd it. So I said, you know what? I had the conspiracy theory. They're fucking me, all right? No one needs to tell me that I got screwed on my state cases. I know that, all right? And, I mean, my mom spent a great deal of money behind lawyers. Two appellate lawyers, criminal lawyers, federal lawyers. I say, hold on a minute. So you know what? I went to the law library and I studied the rule. I can't do business anymore. So I studied the rule of the court. Went there every day. Studied the rules of court. And I said, you know what? I'm going to fight them myself. So I started writing motions. All my motions on my two-state conviction are handwritten. My immigration motion appealing that case, handwritten. I wrote it in prison. Got my conviction overturned. Read the statutes, read the law. I mean, they're not doing that. I mean, I had to learn how to speak the language.
Yeah.
You know, because the language is really complex. You know, but I mean, I'm in prison. What am I going to do? You know what I'm saying? So it took me 10 months. It took me 6 months to get my conviction overturned in state, you know, 10 months to get out, and another 4 months to get out of prison. And it was a wrap. You know what I'm saying? And after I got so, you know, become second nature, you know, I started, well, I'll go all the way to Florida Supreme Court. What do you want to do? You want to go back to district court? Let's go back to district court. You know what I'm saying? Went before an immigration judge and argued my case myself. You know what I'm saying? The only thing I didn't do when the conviction got overturned, I didn't stand in front of a circuit judge, because if I was to stand in front of a circuit judge, therefore, I don't have the luxury of appealing on my own, because I can't go and argue and then say, oh, hey, the lawyer made a mistake, or this should have been argued. You know, if I'm representing myself, I can't come back and go to the appeal court and say, hey, wait a minute, this wasn't done correctly. They're not going to go for that.
Right.
So I had a lawyer represent me. But the conviction, I got them overturned myself. You know what I mean? In state court. Fuck them. You know what I mean? I know you fucked me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I handwritten them. I sat and, you know, they paid. I paid to learn. You know what I mean? I went to prison to learn.
Yeah. Now, where did you serve the time on the federal unlicensed broadcasting conviction? Where did they put you up for that?
All over.
What do you mean? What do you mean by all over? You got a little tour?
It took me a month to get back to Orlando. So I did 5 months in Sanford, and then after I went and accepted plea, they took me to Tallahassee. There's a medium in Tallahassee.
All right, so these were federal prisons in Florida then?
Yeah.
Okay. The folks who you were behind bars with when you told them you were there for running a pirate radio station, what was their reaction? How did that go over?
They didn't believe me. Everyone thought that was like some, you know, because I mean, the cop, they, when you speak to me, they're like, you're not a drug dealer, okay? And I said, well, I'm here for pirate radio, misdemeanor. No one believed me. They're like, no, so I showed my paperwork. I am in prison for a federal misdemeanor. No one believed that there's such a thing as a federal misdemeanor. I said, I'm here for pirate radio. I ran one of the largest pirate radio stations in the world. That's why I'm in prison. Federal prison. And, in federal prison, you know, people, there's always a bunch of snitch and, you know, people turning information over. So everyone was kind of leery until they got to know me. It was like, oh, you're really here for a misdemeanor. Yeah.
Now, how do they manage? I didn't. Now that's new to me too, because I thought that those criminal convictions were automatically felonies. How did that work?
They're felony now. After I went to prison, now they're a felony.
Well, now they're state felonies. Now Florida's got a law in the books, you know, that makes unlicensed broadcasting a third degree felony. But I thought that the federal law prosecuted people as felons too.
No, it's a misdemeanor.
Oh, okay. All right.
At 10 misdemeanor. They spent over $100,000 to bring me back to indict me in 10 misdemeanor.
But they got their message across.
I'm sure they did, but, you know, whatever. I'm here. I paid to learn, and, you know, I'm about to be on the grind. But they'll never get me in that position again.
Yeah. Okay, so, when did you get out? When were you done?
I was done with my federal case in 2003, I believe.
Oh, you got sentenced in May, right?
Yeah, no, probably 2000. Was it 2000? Yeah, 2003,
this,
I think I got done with it.
Yeah, I'm looking at
November 2003.
Okay, July. So did they give you credit for, like, how long were you, you said that they gave you the grandiose tour, flew you around and whatnot. How long did you do that before you actually got convicted? Did they give you credit for time served and whatnot on there?
Yeah, they gave me 5 months credit, 5 months time served.
Okay. That makes sense. I'm just trying to work the math in my head. Because I'm like, the FCC, you know, puts out a news release saying that you get convicted and it's dated May. So I was like, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, cool. So you got out in November. What did you do after that? I mean,
I've been in state prison. Because you remember, I had federal time and I had state time. So when my FCC time was up, I was, you know, I mean, I had to just let, I'm 9 months in federal prison. So I said, fuck it. You know what I mean? I can wear that. It's a misdemeanor. I ain't worried about that. So when I went back to state prison, I've been in the law library grinding, trying to get my state conviction overturned.
So those
I
didn't
was
get
still
over
in prison.
Ah, so those didn't get overturned until after you'd already finished your sentence.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, just still trying to keep the whole time frame straight in my head here.
So I got out of prison. I was out of prison. I was out of prison, and my conviction got overturned 10 months. Okay, but I was sitting in a county jail for 14 months. because going forward is not as easy as going backwards. Because you got to remember, I was ordered deported. Okay, when I got ordered deported, all that had to come back. You know what I'm saying? So I was sitting in the county jail with a federal hold. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
A detainer. Don't let him out. So I had to go, my mom had to go get a lawyer in Miami, and then I had to get a new team of lawyers to handle my state case, not a conviction overturn. Okay, we went through it with a fine-tooth comb. We won't make the same mistake we will make the first time, you know?
Yeah.
And then I've been sitting in the county for 14 months doing time, you know, when the sex case got dismissed with a fax, and this is just, and it makes me fucking mad because, you know, these people put me through hell, you know, and all that happened was a fax and a signature, and everything went away in a sex case, just like that.
Mm.
A fax, they faxed my lawyer, my lead counsel, a null prosecute, and a signature. That was it.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, the state never likes to admit it might be wrong, right?
Well, you see, listen, before that null prosecute came, we had 7 motions before the court. One of the motions was motion to dismiss, okay? Misconduct and the OPD. Because I tell you, OPD's arrested me. Most of my arrests came from OPD. We filed a motion to misconduct, dismiss the case, the sex case, based upon OPD. But the detective on the stand, and so forth. Before the judge can even rule on that motion, the prosecutor called the judge and like, Your Honor, we're not going to proceed with the case. We're going to dismiss it. Why? They dismiss it, and that was it. The 13 felonies on the 99 case with the credit card, all that came back because that case got overturned. That case was handled with a misdemeanor, and that's it. No admittance to wrongdoing. That's it, a misdemeanor.
Okay.
And all the felonies went away.
All right. So when did you get out of prison, out of state prison?
July 12th. Well, I was already out of state prison.
Okay.
I already had a release from state prison. Because you remember, state prison couldn't hold me anymore. So I already got released from state prison, but I wasn't sitting in a county jail.
You were sitting in the county jail.
Back to trial.
All right.
With a federal hold.
So when did all of that get worked out? When did you finally step out as a free man again? When was that?
July 12th.
July 12th of?
Of this year.
This year?
Yeah.
Oh. So no wonder you emailed me.
Yeah, listen, when I got out and I Googled my name, I was like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. When I Googled my name and I found out all the stuff, I mean, I know like most of the case and opinions from the courts, they're going to be in the book automatically. You know what I'm saying? Every appeal or every brief that I've wrote to the court, they've wrote an opinion on. Okay. But when I came out and I saw the press release from the FCC and I saw all these articles that's been written about me, and I was like, you know, I was like, you know what I mean? Oh, come on, man. This is out of control. It's, you know, and everyone's, they're not really getting my story. They're getting the story that they want to write, you know what I mean? Because you know this, as reporters are not too keen on doing any research these days. You know, most of the information they get are secondhand.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, back in a previous life, I used to be a commercial radio journalist.
Okay.
That's what I did. That's I went to college and like majored in broadcast journalism and all that stuff. And I graduated in 96. And nobody told me about the Telecom Act. No, nobody told me in class about station consolidation of ownership and what that would do to newsrooms around the country. And so after working in the business for like, you know, 4, 5, 6 years, Low Power FM came along at the FCC. I was covering pirate radio around the country and whatnot. And I just eventually kind of, you know, just made a personal moral decision that I couldn't work in an industry that was attacking people who I thought were doing authentic radio. And that's why I ended up leaving. But that's just a little disclosure moment for you. So I tell when you say journalists don't like to work too hard and, you know, they don't like doing research, I know exactly what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. So so you just wanted to kind of get the word out about, like, how complicated the situation really was.
Yeah, listen, I did pirate radio. Granted, I've said some things, you know, that the mayor, who's the Secretary of State now, didn't agree with, you know. And, you know, my beef has always been people who sit in elected office. You know, I mean, they've always had an axe to grind with me. And, I mean, I don't know why. You know, that's always been my problem, okay? Get the story correct, you know. And, I mean, in the name of radio, I've had a lot of problems. You know what I'm saying? I went to prison with 3 felony convictions. I've got a lengthy arrest record, you know, for bullshit. You know what I mean? Because they were stacking felonies on me. But granted, I went through all that and all that, it's gone. You know, so, and I've always said it, they created this, okay? I couldn't dream this up in a million years. They created this. They created me. It's because of them. You know what I'm saying? They want to say, oh, we're going to teach them a lesson. But the lesson, kind of like they want to, you know, like you tell your kids, hey, don't do this, and, you know, you try to discipline your kid, and what you're trying to do backfires and goes the totally opposite way.
Yeah.
It's the same principle with me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It hurts them now, like, fuck. I was supposed to be in prison for 10 years on 2 10-year sentences. Then after I get done with my sentence, I'm deported. I was never supposed to even walk on the ground of Orlando ever again.
So what happened with that part of the case? I mean, how are you still in America then?
The conviction got overturned.
Ah, so that was part of it too. So
yeah.
I see. Okay.
I'm not convicted by anything. I have no felony conviction. When the conviction was overturned, the deportation order had to have been vacated.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I gotcha.
And the court, I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with the Immigration Court of Appeal.
No, not at all.
They wrote an opinion. The guy wrote an opinion because my time for reopening the case had expired. They said, yo, granted that the time for Mr. Payne's motion to be opened is expired, we're going to open the case in our own authority because of the precedent of the case, of the circumstances. You know what I'm saying? He was convicted, and his conviction got overturned based upon constitutional error. They fucked me up, and it took the courts to straighten it out.
Okay, I gotcha. So, like, you know, in a way, I guess then the radio plays a part in all of this.
Everything.
In that, it was because you were on the air, and it was because of the stuff that you were doing on the air, licensed or not, that you were getting the local level harassment from OPD.
I had no problems when I was on radio.
Right.
None.
So it was being an operator of a station and being seemingly untouchable because the FCC wasn't moving fast enough, that the local authorities kind of took it into their own hands with whoever spurring them on to harass you and to charge you with stuff, and that's how that all got going. And then the FCC finally gets involved after you're pretty much already screwed, which makes sense, I guess, from the FCC's point of view, because they want to minimize the work that they want to do. And so, like, you know, being on the radio and setting up an unlicensed radio station, broadcasting with 10,000 watts, which is, that's ballsy, I'll give you that. You know, that's really ballsy. Even 1,000 watts is ballsy. But, you know, that I can see how that would, you know, definitely spur the FCC in action and whatnot. But you, from what I'd heard on the CD and whatnot that you sent me was, you think that some of it also has to do with what you were saying on the air. Can you talk a little bit about the politics and how that all kind of got involved or when that all started?
Well, probably when my show started, mainly I was doing prank calls and just playing music and just kicking the bobo with people on the radio, you know. But then, you know, a light bulb went off in my head. Hey, you know what I mean? You're like the representative of the streets. You know what I mean? You can speak for the have-nots, the people who can articulate, you know, and get their message across. So I started talking about, you know, local cops, local public officials. You know, one big thing that I talked about is Orange County, Crotty, the county commissioner passed, the county was passing an ordinance where they were going to give clubs a 60 days memorandum to open because of rave and kids were dying out. I don't know if you're familiar with, you know, it was a big heroin epidemic in Orlando some time back.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
There was passing a bill saying that, you know, the club owners are responsible. They're going to fine club owners for people who are dying in the clubs. So I did a big story on that, you know, and I took on Crotty, the county chairman, he's the mayor of Orange County now. I took him on and say, listen, you want to go to XL, you want to go to all these pop stations and talk, won't you come here and talk to me, okay? And, you know what I mean, it got a lot of press, you know, but, you know, that there caused me a lot of problems because, you know, I took him on head up, you know, the election time, you know, I talked about Bush, you know, and, you know, the taxes that he was proposing on putting on people and, you know, various topics that, you know, I used to read the USA Today before I came in and did my show. So I could be familiar with what's going on currently and whatever was going on in the news, I would talk about it, but talk of it from on a more urban perspective, you know. And I mean, urban doesn't necessarily mean black.
No.
It means, you know, people who can identify what's going on around them, you know. And, you know, I mean, I talked about it.
Did you?
Name it, I talked about it.
Yeah. Did you, I mean, do you, like, identify in any sort of way politically? I mean, do you classify yourself as anywhere on the political spectrum, or are you just more like of a pragmatic sort?
To an extent, but I used to say I'm a liberal Democrat, okay? But then I can be a liberal Republican. I can, you know, I can be a conservative Republican. I didn't necessarily. It all depends on who's going to do a better job and what position it's right, you know, that I feel is right for me, okay? And then I'll let the people call up and let them voice their opinion. You know, it did. So, I mean, at some point, some issues I would be neutral. Some what that was really dear to my heart, I would be really strong about and
right.
take a stand on.
Yeah.
You know, but it was all on what people feel. You know, you can call me up and talk to me about whatever you want. There was a particular incident that happened. The sheriff, the second in command of the sheriff department, Barry's guy, he got arrested for bringing in 16 keys of cocaine from Miami to Orlando. Then the sheriff got on TV. Oh, I don't know anything about this. I'm a total surprise. So I got on the radio. And every news organization in Orlando don't want to talk about it. They're downplaying the whole thing. I got 5,000 watts, man. You know what I mean? I got the whole metropolitan. You can hear me in the house or the car. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take advantage of it. So I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on a minute. You're the sheriff. You mean to tell me you don't know what's going on in your own county? What's the purpose of you being the sheriff?
Mm-hmm.
I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, parents, are you going to stand for this? And the phone went sick, you know? So after I did that for like a good 3 hours on the radio, then doing bits, you know, I did a little skit where I said, I'm the sheriff. And then, you know, like pretending I had a couple guys. We're pretending we're driving down from Miami. We get stopped. Like, where are you going? What's those rappers? Oh, we're taking this back to evidence. You know what I'm saying? You know, we just seized this and we're taking, you know, 10 back to evidence and the other 8, we're just going to, you know, just like a little bit. About 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, a guy calls me, a friend of mine. He said, hey, NSX. I said, what's up? He says, there's a police helicopter over the building. I said, what? He said, yeah. I said, okay. Then there was a big song that was out, underground song that was out right at that time, called Fuck the Law. So I said, okay. So I come from right out of from my bit, and I play, fuck the law, I don't give no fuck about the law, law don't give no fuck about me, fuck the law. And I mean, it was just, and people loved it, you know what I'm saying, because everything I was saying is real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, you got the guy who said he's a sheriff and said you don't know what's going on, and he keep getting reelected. I mean, hey, come on, man, let's do the math.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't take a rocket scientist to figure this out.
So, you know, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, I don't know. Your cases, they're not easy to you know, you're definitely ain't a soundbite. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you can't say it's one thing or it's another thing. It's a combination of things that happen to do with the fact that you were running an illegal radio station.
Right.
Okay. That clarifies things a lot, at least for me, in my adult journalistic brain.
Yeah, I mean, you're seeing all these things on the internet, which are piece by piece. This and that. But you see, they've made me out to be like this terrible miscreant, you know. And when you look at my arrest record, like, oh shit.
Yeah, you're a bona fide hoodlum.
Yeah, this guy's a real miscreant. But then when you dig deeper, well, they arrested him for strong-arm robbery. Why is he pleading to a misdemeanor? Right? Shit, he got sent to prison for sexual battery. Why didn't the state go back and reconvict him? Shit, he had 13 felony in possession of stolen credit card and organized fraud. That's like a RICO act, okay? Organized fraud from a radio station? How do you come up with organized fraud?
Yeah, where what was the allegation specifically dealing with that? I mean, like, that you were somehow using...
I was on a radio station, and I used credit card and funds to fund an illegal entity, you know?
I
was registered with the state of Florida. My company was registered with the state of Florida. So they said I was scheming to defraud, and it was organized fraud. The radio thing was an organized fraud to fund. But, you know, they always tried. They really couldn't pin me with the drug thing until this rape case. And if you look at the Orlando Weekly, you know, NSX gets sentenced to prison, you'll notice the prosecutor did a little article in there, too, where he says, oh, NSX was, he was a chemist, you know, he had access to this unknown drugs and on the street, you know, it's like, wait, it's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so now fast forward to the present. July, you get out. What have you been doing since then? I mean, other than contacting people to try to get your side of the story out, I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing now for kicks and for biz?
Well, I'm now trying to get my team back together. We just finished the show CD, and we're putting together a press kit. Well, the press kit speaks for itself. It's everything on the web. And a proposal to, you know, either to give to Clear Channel or satellite radio. I'm on a year probation, misdemeanor probation from the FCC. So I can't break any laws. So I definitely can't go back to pirate radio.
Would you wanna, if you could?
I'm beyond that, man. I'm 20 steps beyond pirate radio.
So is it like, once bitten kind of thing, then?
Yeah, I mean, it served a purpose. You know what I'm saying? It served a purpose, and it was fun. But, I mean, in order for me to progress and do what I really need to do, pirate radio can't give me that. You know what I'm saying? I need a legitimate license, and I need to have a sales staff around me in order for me to accomplish what I want to accomplish.
Now that's,
pirate radio can't give me that.
That's a big change from, you know, fuck radio.
I'm sorry?
That's a big change from, you know, fuck radio, which is kind of your initial, like,
yeah,
radio was a means to an end.
I said that in the Who's Who 2005 that, you know, I didn't have much respect for traditional radio when I first started, you know. And even back then in 99, 2000, I said that, you know, radio is going to become obsolete, you know. And in some respect, yes, but in many, no. It's not, because you can't reinvent the wheel. You know what I'm saying? Satellite is treading on traditional radio, but it's not going to really get rid of traditional radio. But traditional radio needs to do something in order to keep its ground. And that grounds mean they need to change. Okay? What that change is, I have an idea, but I'm not willing to share with anyone unless they're willing to pay me to give them that information. Okay? What I did 6 years ago, I did on a shoestring budget. Okay? I want the opportunity to show that, hey, listen, the kid's growing up and the kid has a vision of what radio should be, you know, and I can do it. You know, I've tapped into a market that everybody wants to tap into, you know, which is that urban talk, and
right.
Nobody's doing it.
Right. So you're actually, like, you're putting together a press kit and whatnot, and that means that you'll start sending it out to commercial radio stations.
Just one. And I mean, just one. I've been talking to this chick, Catherine Brown, at Real Radio, which is a talk radio station on FM here. You know, I mean, they know about me, and, you know, I mean, I would like to be on that. It's 100,000 watts. I would like to be on that station, and being in Orlando, it's, you know, it's my stomping ground. Everybody knows me here. So I'm going to send it to her, see what they think of it, you know. Maybe I can get a job there. If not, you know, I'll try my luck at satellite.
What about your music? I mean, you were...
Well, I left music a long time ago.
Oh, you did.
My friend died in a car accident. And after he died, I just said, forget about radio, forget about music. You know, I just totally left it alone and just focused on business, you know. And radio took the place of music, and here we are, you know, 6 years down the road.
Yeah, yeah. If you do get a like a talk style show on the station or on the satellite channel, like XM, Sirius, whatever, what do you want it to be? Like, are you thinking about what kinds of subject matter you want to cover, how you want to take it, whether it's going to be political or not, or is it something that you're going to leave kind of freeform like you did with the 95 Live stuff?
Pretty much. I'm not a straight political guy anyway. You know what I mean? I'm more of an entertainer, you know. I do entertainment radio, you know. And I will definitely keep it freestyle, you know. But, you know, I can talk on a various subject, politics, religion, whatever you want to talk about. I can hold my conversation. But, you know, people get bored when you start beating serious thing, you know, or politics them. You have to do it in an entertainment form to get their attention, you know. You know, the brain has 3 seconds of remembrance, and you have to do things very, you know, sound bites, very distinctive words to get their attention, you know, to get your message across. So, politic radio, political radio, no, I'm not going to be handing you a cone at all, you know, and I'm definitely not going to be Howard Stern. I'm going to be NSX.
Right. Okay. Now, I know that there's still, you know, like pirates are still active all over the state and whatnot. Are you, I know that you're not involved, cause you can't be, but, do you still have contacts, connections? Do you keep in touch with what other people are doing? Do you listen to stations that are around in the area? And what do you think of them? Stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I went to Miami. I was down south last night, as you know, when I spoke to you. And, you know, I listened to some pirate stations, you know, but, you know, they're not doing anything different than what's going on commercial radio. You know, they're not, you know, breaking new grounds. You know, they're doing the same thing, playing the same music, pretty much what commercial radio is doing. You know, I mean, I listen, you know. Well, what can I tell you?
So,
you know, if they only knew, please don't play any games.
Yeah.
You know, these people are dead serious.
So, you know, like, why do you think that they're taking the risks that they're taking then?
They don't know. You know what I'm saying? They don't have a clue to... They don't know. They don't understand the reach of the judicial system. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, although, you know, the FCC, as you found out, it took them a while to come around finally. You know, what, 6 years? 5 years? You know, it took them a while before they actually, you know, were able to exert some bona fide muscle on you. So, I mean, there's still plenty of space for people to do unlicensed broadcasting. You know, it's a risk assessment kind of thing, I think, is the way people look at it mostly. When they see that there isn't a lot of risk attached, you know,
they don't see the risk. You know, that's the thing. You know, when I was doing it, it was a misdemeanor. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, back then the benefits outweigh the risk. Now the risk outweigh the benefits.
I wanted to ask you about that. Last year, state of Florida, with the help of the Florida Association of Broadcasters, legislature passes a bill making pirate broadcasting a third degree felony. I know that, like, the Broward County Sheriff's Office has been real big on busting heads on this and knocking stations down and whatnot. And you're not the only person who's, you know, dealt with local authorities looking for other hooks to use. Like, I know in Miami there's a couple stations that have got shut down because building inspectors came in and found fire code violations, right? So they got to kick everybody out the building. But now, you know, third-degree felony, pretty serious shit. What's your take on that law? I mean, do you think it's going to have an effect on pirates in Florida? Has it had an effect that you can see in the limited time that you've had to kind of get the lay of the land here?
I really can't see an effect right now. You know, maybe some time it has to pass for me to really answer that question, but. You know, like laws, you know, they put laws in a book and, you know, laws don't ever come off. You know, they put laws thinking that they're going to curb some kind of situation, but, you know, I haven't seen the effect. But, I mean, sure, you know, a couple guys going to be arrested and get felony conviction, but, you know, what are you going to do? You know, I mean, cops are too busy. You know what I'm saying? Were you going to create a new department like Homeland Security and say, okay, go after pirate radio?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where's the governor going to find a budget to do that?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. And there's also like, I don't know if you knew about this, but, you know, the American Radio Relay League, it's the group, like the voluntary association for all the amateur ham radio people. They've actually filed a petition with the FCC to have the FCC declare the Florida law null and void, because as it's kind of in reverse to the situation that you were dealing with. They want the FCC to step in and say, no, we have exclusive jurisdiction over the airwaves. Federal authorities have exclusive jurisdiction over the airwaves, and state authorities cannot do anything to regulate the airwaves. Hence, this law cannot apply. And the funny thing is the FCC is dragging its feet on it now. After all these years of trying to assert their exclusive domain over the airwaves, the director of the Tampa office, a guy by the name of Ralph Barlow, I think, said, with this law, we don't even have to be called at all. It's great. And it's a real turn of events, and it doesn't look like the FCC is going to take any action anytime soon. But it is interesting that, you know, there are people out there, licensed amateur broadcasters, who are not happy with this law. They're obviously probably not pretty happy with pirates in any way, shape, or form, but it's a place where you have kind of an unusual alliance taking place.
I agree with them. On the FCC is the FCC. Okay. What the state of Florida is attempting to do is to take jurisdiction on a federal ground, and they don't have that jurisdiction. Now, if someone was to get arrested and be sentenced and tried and go to prison or go on probation based upon this Florida law on pirate radio, I'm sure they can go to the Supreme Court, because the state of Florida does not have jurisdiction over the airwaves. That's in the Constitution.
Yeah, we'll see about that. There's already been two guys arrested. I don't have their names.
You see, until I went to prison, you know, no one really wants to fight. You know, they probably take probation and they're good with it. I mean, but if one wants to make a big stink out of it, sure, you can go to the appeal court and then go to the Florida Supreme Court and even go to the federal court, okay? And then the courts can step in and say, wait a minute, this is unconstitutional, because no state has jurisdiction over any federal law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, you can make an argument out of it, but to find a lawyer to make an argument or to sit down and read it yourself and file a brief yourself, guys are not going to do that.
Yeah, and I mean, I can tell you, at least on the federal, and maybe they'd have better luck in the federal courts, but any time that an unlicensed broadcaster has tried to step up and not necessarily justify their behavior, but show that the rules allowing people on the air, you know, the restrictions that don't allow public access to the public airwaves, generally speaking, every time someone's put together like a cogent argument that says that, the courts have found a way to do some sort of gymnastics to basically maintain federal authority. So, I mean, if this does go in a challenging way, where someone actually puts time, money, effort, you know, research into this, it's going to be a one-of-a-kind effort, because it's going after a state law, and it's going to require the feds to, you know,
step in,
but it'll be interesting to see if they'll actually do that. I mean, Florida is a real special case, too, because it's the only state in the nation right now that's got a law like this, although New Jersey's been debating it. And you also have a pirate scene that's just crazy. I mean, there is no density of pirates anywhere in the country like there is in Florida. And no one's really been able to explain why that is either. I mean, why do you think there are so many pirates in Florida?
Because it's a large ethnic community in South Florida, and they don't have the voice on commercial radio. So the only way for them to have the voice is to have pirate radio stations. That's the only way they can have a voice in South Florida. Whether you're Cuban or you're Haitian, or you're Jamaican, or you're from one of the Caribbean islands. That's the only way for you to have a voice.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. I'm out of questions. Is there anything that we haven't covered that we should cover?
Man, I think we pretty much covered everything.
90 minutes.
It's been 90 minutes?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's okay, though. I got plenty of space on my hard drive. What I'm going to do with this is cleaned up a little bit, not edited or anything, but just like, you know, there's a little bit of hum, like phone line hum that I got going on, and SoundForge has noise reduction, so I can go in there and kind of, you know, tamp that down and whatnot. Save it as an MP3, and then I'm going to upload it just in its entirety and stick it up.
Who's going to listen to that?
Stick it up and for people to listen to. Well, shit, I could break it up into chunks, I guess, if I really needed to. You would be surprised at how many people would listen to it, actually. I don't know what it is, but, you know, there's a lot of people out there that seem to like this kind of stuff. And there's a lot of people out there who I think would be interested in hearing what you've got to say. Now that you're out and about, back in the home stomping grounds, as it were, is people still are equating you with 95 Live, right?
Yeah. I mean, I go out, you know, everyone's like, yo, and this with NSX, what are you going to do? We need that back here, man. And, you know, they're still in that time. You know, hey, I've moved on and went 5 steps ahead. You know, when I was thinking of doing 95 Live, doing off TV, streaming to the web, streaming audio and video, that was 6 years ago, okay? I've moved on to something totally different, beyond streaming to the web. And they're still there. It's like, oh, we need that, you know. I mean, it's a lot of love in the streets, you know.
You still want to, like, you're talking about regaining control of 95live.com, so you still want to kind of resurrect at least the website of this, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've got bigger plans for 95 Live than that, you know what I'm saying? I mean, these wankers out in California, I mean, they're streaming, you know, but, you know, they've got something that belongs to me, and, they don't understand, you know, I need to have that back. You know, so
right.
I need to have the lawyers involved. You know, most of my lawyers are criminal lawyers. Anyway, they don't understand intellectual property. So last week and the top of this week, I've been looking for a good intellectual property lawyer, you know, to enforce them giving that site back up, going to the hosting company and have them turning that site off. You know.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a pretty clear cut case of domain hijacking, which.
Yeah, I mean, it was taken from me while I owned it.
Yeah, and this is that's not uncommon.
When it expired in 2004, they re-register it. You know what I'm saying? Because the information was already changed in 2002. You know, but I mean, ICANN is the only one that polices the web, and that's like, oh, I mean, when I started 95 Live. All the information was fictitious. You know what I'm saying? Right. I had 555-1212 for my phone number. The company was FU Payback and Company. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was really fictitious. So, but I mean, I can show that, hey, I'm NSX. I'm the guy. It's mine. I got a subpoena from Bell South, that the FCC sent to Bell South because of 95 Live. You know what I'm saying? So, it's mine, but, you know. Two Cows wasn't willing to make any changes because, like, oh, these people might sue. It's like they don't have the means nor the funds to even to sue if I take it. You know what I mean? Or I can just send someone a plane and go see them in California and let them know. I mean business. No, but, hey, I'm on probation. I got to do things diplomatically.
Yeah.
Okay? I've learned over the years from being in prison, I got to get the lawyers involved. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the way I like to do business, but hey, that's the way I'm forced to do business.
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes you can, I understand exactly what you mean.
I mean, I sent them an email. They're playing games like, pay us. So I'm like, okay, all right, man, no problem. You know what I'm saying? You know, then I sent my phone number, then the guy called me back. I was like, oh, you listen to me. I was like, man, listen, you don't know who you're talking to, man. I said, listen, I'm not going to go back and forth on the phone with you. I don't have time for the malarkey. All I want is my website back, okay? It was stolen from me from the beginning. I want it back. That's all I want. He doesn't understand. I mean, see, some people, when you talk soft to people, they don't understand. You got to split them over the head. They see that Kool-Aid fund, and like, you know, that's the only way to understand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Be careful, man. It's probation.
I know. But I mean, that's the only way that I'm just saying. I'm speaking out loud. That's the only way people understand.
Yeah,
you can
yeah.
speak to someone. Listen, please. And you use all the common courtesy as possible. But they don't understand unless you get really antsy and strong on them. They're like, oh, wait a minute. You know, I wasn't expecting. I'm sorry, you know?
Right.
But I mean, I'll get the lawyers. I mean, lawyers will send a letter, cease and desist, and we'll get that handled. You know what I mean? That's okay. The quickest way to get it done.
Yeah. Well, good luck. I mean, something in me just finds it incredibly ironic that, you know, you're looking to go in and do radio after doing radio and not doing radio. But, I mean, if it works and if it's what you want to do, you gotta go after what makes you happy. And, I mean, that's always kind of what I've lived by, is my goal in life is to have a job that don't feel like a job.
Well, I can't, you see, the only way for me to make a change is to go and do radio. You know what I'm saying? I can't change the whole world, but I can change a piece of it. Maybe a little micro speck. Okay, in the place that I need to go and make that change is satellite or real radio. You know what I'm saying? And that's the only place I can do it.
So, okay, then, as a final word, say you got people like who hear this or something, and they haven't done pirate radio before, but they've learned about it, like you have, sitting in chat rooms and visiting websites or whatnot. And, you know, they're on the edge. Do you say do it or do you say don't do it?
Do what? Pirate radio?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Don't do it.
A wise man learns from his mistake. A wiser man learns from somebody else's mistake. Okay. No. No. Don't do it.
Even though all the circumstances that kind of got you into the place you got in were extenuating.
I mean, I wouldn't change anything that I've done, you know. For me to sit here, stand here right now to speak to you, it's been an amazing ride, but no. I wouldn't advise anyone to do it. It's expensive, okay, and it's aggravating. Don't do it, you know. Do something else. Go rob a bank or something. You know what I'm saying? I'm kidding. That was a joke.
I just want to say for the record that I completely understand that was a joke, and it was taken completely as a joke. Just
yeah,
for
I'm just saying,
for anybody who may be listening that is involved in law enforcement or any of that other stuff, yeah, NSX was making a joke.
Yeah.
He's just being true to form.
Yeah.